The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, April 1st, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and we are so excited for today's show. In our Behind the Headlines segment, we get a real brief and unbelievable opportunity, five-minute conversation live with President Obama over shocking allegations that appeared on HighTimes.com today that he was caught smoking crack in the Oval Office. We will talk to the president himself, get his words on this issue in our Behind the Headlines segment. That'll come right after our 420 radio news. In the headlines today, we've got more states that are passing those CBD-only bills. Kentucky is just waiting for a governor's signature to join Utah as a CBD-only state. Same situation in Alabama right now as well. We'll also take a look at Florida lawmakers who are talking about medical marijuana. The Oregon Health Authority is changing its rules about medicated edibles. The state of Nevada's dispensary law begins today, and the Security and Exchange Commission has suspended the trading of a certain cannabis-based business stock. We will tell you all about that in the 420 radio news. Also on today's show, we're going to continue our highlights of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference that took place in Eugene, Oregon this weekend with Don Duncan from Americans for Safe Access. We've got the first 10 minutes of his speech as a highlight for you, so you can check that out coming up at half past. And then in the Radical Rant section at the end of the show, five signs that you may be smoking too much pot. I know you didn't think it was possible. Who could smoke too much pot? Well, we'll give you five signs to take a look at that you might want to think about your usage. We got that and Toker Talk Radio today coming up in hour two. 971-533-7111 is our phone number at Toker Talk Radio. We'll be taking your live comments and questions on the news of the day. Also, it's Daily Toker Tunes today, and sadly, Electric Bob is going to be joining us to give a tribute to recently deceased producer Frankie Knuckles, who passed away, don't know if yesterday or the day before. I think maybe it was over the weekend, but he'll give us all the information on Frankie Knuckles, and we'll be hearing a tune of his called The Whistle Song. So stay tuned. That's all coming up on The Russ Belville Show here on 420radio.org. You can help us stay on the air. Please become a VIP supporter. Just visit 420radio.org and make your monthly donation today. We are independent, 24-hour marijuana legalization talk radio. The news is next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent ya. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. Four20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Kentucky's legislature has passed a bill legalizing the use of CBD oil by University Research Hospitals for the treatment of childhood epilepsy. The measure awaits the signature of Governor Steve Beshear, who is expected to sign it today. The bill passed unanimously through both the House and Senate, with two House members abstaining. Senate Bill 124 will allow the universities of Kentucky and Louisville to treat anyone enrolled in an FDA-approved trial of cannabidiol oil. While parents applauded the passage of the bill with tears in their eyes for their sick children, it remains to be seen whether the FDA and other federal authorities will cooperate or render the law unworkable. Advocates also point out the restriction on low THC levels may make it impossible for some patients to attain maximum relief. A similar CBD-only bill has already been signed into law in Utah, and another one waits the governor's signature in Alabama. Georgia's legislature failed to pass their CBD-only bill, and South Carolina is currently working on its CBD-only bill. In more CBD-only news, Florida lawmakers participating in a panel discussion extolled the virtues of Charlotte's Web medical marijuana. Representative Matt Gaetz, a Republican, was joined by Democrats Representative Katie Edwards and Senator Jeff Clemens, who said, quote, "This 50s and 60s era reefer madness attitude caused us to turn away from a plant as a form of medicine and move to these synthetic drugs that are often a lot worse for our bodies," end quote. Representatives Gaetz and Edwards are co-sponsoring a bill that would legalize just the high CBD oil used on epileptic children, but other bills in the legislature would establish a broader, whole plant medical marijuana system. Regardless, all three legislators agreed that anything they pursue now is just a framework for the whole plant medical marijuana Clemens, quote, "fully expects to pass this fall," end quote. Representative Edwards also pointed out the economic benefits, saying, quote, "Why can't I have a Duke University research triangle that brings high-paying jobs in the research sector here to work with an already existing population of Florida families," end quote. The Oregon Health Authority issued rules today for medicated edibles that back off of earlier threats to ban all candy, gum, and cookies made with cannabis. Today's rules, which went into effect immediately, now only prohibit dispensaries from offering products that are, quote, "attractive to minors or shaped like an animal or any other commercially recognizable toy or candy," end quote. Packaging of the products must not be, quote, "in a container that is brightly colored, depicts cartoons or images other than the logo of the facility, unless the logo of the facility depicts cartoons, in which case only the name of the facility is permitted," end quote. OHA's dispensary head Tom Burns said the agency received up to 300 emails from patients complaining that a ban on sweet edibles would be counter to harm reduction and some patients need to ingest rather than inhale cannabinoids. Medical marijuana sales are now legal in the state of Nevada. The state's dispensary law goes into effect today, but it will likely take 10 months to a year before local and state governments have finalized regulations and processed applications for the dispensary industry. The state is hiring 12 full-time and 15 part-time clerks to process the applications for producers and retailers. Once hired and trained by sometime around May or June, the state will issue a 45-day notice prior to the two-week period in which they will accept applications. The state predicts around 400 applicants for the 66 potential dispensary statewide, for which applicants must show $250,000 in liquid assets. Nevada will also reap a 2% tax on the retail and wholesale sales of marijuana. The Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, has suspended the trading of Advanced Cannabis Solutions stock. In a statement, the SEC wrote, quote, "It appears to the Securities and Exchange Commission that there is a lack of current and accurate information concerning the securities of Advanced Cannabis Solutions, Inc., a Colorado corporation headquartered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. There are questions regarding whether certain undisclosed affiliates and shareholders of Advanced Cannabis Common Stock engaged in an unlawful distribution of securities. The commission is of the opinion that the public interest and the protection of investors require suspension of trading in the securities of Advanced Cannabis Solutions, Inc." End quote. Advanced Cannabis refutes the allegations, which come at a bad time for the company. On February 20th, they had announced an agreement with investors in a large startup to provide cannabis for the Canadian medical marijuana market, and the stock price had been rising steadily. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at 420radio.org. When we come back, we go behind the headlines for our exclusive interview with President Barack Obama, refuting allegations that he was caught smoking crack in the Oval Office. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Hemp Beach TV, from the secret hemp beach, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today, the political world was rocked by scandal when a young girl named April from PS 420 in the Bronx, who was on a school field trip to tour the White House, caught a glimpse of President Barack Obama smoking what she described as, quote, a crack pipe, end quote. In a hastily called press conference reported on HighTimes.com, Obama took over for Deputy Press Secretary Josh Earnest and explained to reporters that he was not smoking crack. He was smoking a form of marijuana concentrate called dabs. We here at the Russ Belville Show have reached out for a comment, and surprisingly, President Obama himself was gracious enough to come on our show live today to address the controversy. Mr. President, thank you for being on our show today.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me. We wanted to call up and answer it personally.
Well, we're pretty stunned that you join us here on 420 Radio, being that we're so openly pro-marijuana legalization. I mean, we figured your Republican opponents might have some tough things to say about this interview.
Why are you worrying about such talk?
Well, sir, some of us have been relieved that you've recently given a green light to legalization in Washington and Colorado, and well, we're worried that you could take a political hit, I mean, pardon the pun, for these recent revelations of your use of cannabis concentrates. I mean, we're not judging you one way or another for it, and you do seem pretty mellow for a man who's under an extreme amount of stress.
Do you want to tell the story, or are you going to let me finish?
Okay, sorry, Mr. President. Just to get it on the record, though, did that little girl catch you inhaling cannabis concentrate off a dab rig?
Look, I inhaled.
Okay, well, according to the High Times article, you said you had taken up cannabis use again in response to the pressures of the presidency. Now, would you say that you've become dependent on cannabis in order to do your job?
That dependence has actually grown year after year after year after year.
So you have been using marijuana ever since you were elected in 2008, is that correct?
That's the only way to cure an illness, right?
Wow, this is really remarkable, sir. Have you tried any other relief for stress aside from medical marijuana?
I drank beer heavily and tried drugs enthusiastically.
I can understand. Wow, this is really much more than I was expecting, sir. How do you think the Congress is going to react to these startling revelations of your cannabis use in the Oval Office?
This was a pretty shameful day for Washington.
Well, I don't know about shameful, sir, but certainly unprecedented. Does this mean your administration will now propose the legalization of drugs?
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and reformalize our laws.
Oh, that's really exciting news, Mr. President, but you know, you're going to have a Congress that will go along with you in order to pass anything to amend the Controlled Substances Act. And given that the pundits are predicting a possible Republican takeover of the Senate, I mean, you're not going to have the votes you need. So will your administration make use of executive orders or other executive branch memos like the Cole memos to help the progress of legalization and the progress of medical marijuana?
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue, simply because I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism. We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
All right. Well, Mr. President, I know you have to go, but I want to thank you so much for your openness and honesty on this issue.
Thanks so much for the great work you've been doing.
I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, you heard it here first on April 1st, 2014, President of the United States admitting to inhaling dabs, that's right, using cannabis concentrates in the Oval Office. Check out the article on HighTimes.com. Gives you the entire story of how the little girl, April, from PS 420 in the Bronx, was on a school tour, happened to see President Obama threw a crack in the door at the Oval Office. She thought it was a crack pipe, and you know, it could be understood because according to her mother, her father, her estranged father, was a crack addict. So she had some personal experience, unfortunately, having seen that drug in action. So very shocking revelations. We have yet to hear from the Republicans on this issue. Rush Limbaugh is just going on a couple of hours ago, and I heard he was going to make this a major focus, but Here we have it, folks. We've come to a point where not only do we have legalization in two states, we have the first president in office to admit to marijuana use while in office. Ha! April Fools! This year I tried to make it real obvious.
It was pretty good. I was cracking up over here. I had to cover my mouth.
In the article, I named the little girl April Fuels Joke.
Oh, have you ever met that Fuels Joke?
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with Electric Bob and our Daily Toker Tunes. A salute to Frankie Knuckles.
He said he swam to China. He would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everybody. 24 after the hour. And one of the things I enjoy about this show is the breadth of music that we play, and especially from genres that I'm not at all familiar with. I had gotten on my Twitter feed the other day, and I saw a whole bunch of stream of tweets from a lot of people I follow with R.I.P. Frankie Knuckles. And, you know, I'm so out of touch, I didn't know if that was a DJ, a boxer. I had no idea. So we've got Electric Bob here to give us the down low on what's going on and the tribute to Frankie Knuckles. What's up, Bob?
What's going on? Yeah, it's a sad day for music. Frankie Knuckles, he was the godfather of house. He set up the, they call him the architect, because if it wasn't for him, all this music I'm playing, all this, all the music everyone likes, it wouldn't be around. That's just, it's what everyone says.
Now, do we have any word on how he passed away? Was it an accident? Natural cause?
It was related to type 2 diabetes. Mm. He died suddenly at home.
Yeah, unfortunate. You know, and that's it's type 2 diabetes is something that's, you know, especially in African-American communities, is something that not to mess around with. So that's sad to hear.
And it's preventable, but what can you really do about it now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can listen to the music and enjoy the artistry that he left behind. How long, what's his background? I mean, how long had he been doing this? How many albums?
He started in 77. He was in New York City. He started mixing, he started playing disco records.
Okay.
And then that evolved. And then he started the Chicago House movement. That was in the mid 80s, 85, 86. And, that's where all like the house music started. He was the basis of, you know, like they have that 4x4, that boom, 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 boom to every song.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first guys to use that because he would play disco records and then just put that beat over it, and people would go crazy about it. And then they'd say, let's just make this music. And it just all started organically from that.
Wow.
And the club was called The Warehouse. And that's where because people would, they would put out all the music, and people would come in, where can I find these warehouse records? Then it just started being house, and then it just all went from there, and it all started in Chicago and just bloomed out from there.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. This is Frankie Knuckles featuring Paul Shapiro. The song's called The Whistle Song from 1991. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send 10 bucks to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Fun. Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollerin'.
Funky to the bone.
Ooh, yeah.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Here's another highlight from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
Currently the California Director for Americans for Safe Access, and he does things all up and down the coast and all over the country, and he's here to talk to you right now. Please welcome Don Duncan, everyone. Don Duncan.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Don Duncan. I'm the California Director of Americans for Safe Access, with the nation's leading medical cannabis advocacy organization. We have about 50,000 members all over the country and chapters and affiliates all over the country as well. I'm also a 14-year veteran of the industry of medical cannabis. I've helped open medical cannabis facilities in California, in Berkeley, Los Angeles, West Hollywood, Palm Springs, and consulted on projects all over the state, including Oakland and Malibu and many other places. And so I've had a lot of experience in opening facilities and in keeping them open. And those two things are not always compatible, as you may have seen in some of the other states. And so I'm here today to talk to you about medical cannabis longevity, specifically about providers associations and cultivation sites. However, the same principles, I think, are going to be applicable to any kind of medical cannabis business. So we're going to talk a little bit about why community relations are important to your longevity, and then we're going to talk about some practical strategies for making sure that your medical cannabis business, your cannabis business, has good community relations and therefore stays open for a nice long time. I've put on the back table, by the way, against this wall here and where the water is over here, the notes from today's conversation, because I know PowerPoint can be hard to follow from afar. So if you want to grab those, they're on paper in the back, and they're also on our website. If you use the pretty URL, Community Outreach and Longevity, you'll find these on our website as well. How's the sound back there? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
If you can, no one's hearing me at all, that's great. Okay, well, all right, well, let's get started. Let's talk a little bit about the way we approach medical cannabis in the world today, because we're not coming from a neutral perspective when it comes to medical cannabis. We're not so fortunate to start with a blank slate. And in fact, there are many sorts of stigmas and biases that come with the medical cannabis industry. One day, that's not going to be the case, but for the time, we're stuck with that. There are these preconceptions. And so when you open your new business with a cannabis or medical cannabis business, you're going to be dealing with perceptions that are based on misunderstandings and bias about you and about this industry. Those will have to do with crime that you might bring to the neighborhood, with drug use, drug users, that sort of thing, nuisance activity, which people just assume will come with any sort of cannabis-related business, and other sorts of illegal tie-ins that maybe it's shady and you're tied up with organized crime at some level. You're also going to be dealing with all the regular prejudices that people deal with around drug users and drug use, classism, racism, and that sort of stigma and bias. And so all of these things stack the deck against us before we open the doors at a medical cannabis cultivation facility or at a dispensary or really any other sort of business. I think the medical cannabis doctor's offices deal with a lot of the same stigma and bias as well. And so given that context, the good community relations are very important for these kinds of businesses. And that's because complaints are bad for us. When your neighborhood is up in arms about your organization, you're going to start with already behind with all that stigma and bias, and you're going to deal with baggage you don't need to deal with. Primarily, complaints lead to law enforcement activity. When neighbors are complaining, that's when you start to see police officers showing up, report histories being generated that can be used against you in zoning and licensing hearings, and just all sorts of drama that you don't need, distractions that you don't need when you're running your business. And so that's one of the reasons community relations are so important, is that it's the easiest way to avoid having that kind of law enforcement activity. It's also really important to avoid this sort of bad community relations, because the activity surrounding your medical cannabis business is going to influence the future of regulations in the state of Oregon and your cities. A lot of people don't realize that we haven't finished the regulatory process around medical cannabis in Oregon or any of the other jurisdictions around the country where it's legal. And so what happens with facilities here in Oregon in the next year or two will influence the following 3 or 4 or 5 years of state and local regulations. So it's very important that you take that long view and realize that your actions today are going to influence the regulatory environment with which you're dealing tomorrow. And finally, of course, good public relations are good for business. It's just better for you, for your organization, if you don't have anything to live down in the community. And in fact, now what you're doing is building goodwill within your community. You're going to have fewer hassles and, in fact, at the end of the day, make more money. It's also important to build alliances in your neighborhood, and so good community relations are going to help you do that. So if there's a crisis, whether that be a political crisis or any other kind of crisis in your community, you're going to have the allies in the community that you need to survive that crisis. A word of caution about your community relations. It does not matter how liberal-leaning or conservative-leaning your communities are. Those dispositions of the communities have only the broadest impact on individual situations when you're dealing with dispensaries, cultivation sites, doctor's offices. A lot of the underground baggage that people carry with drug-related issues that come to cannabis-related issues as well are going to surface. There are two community meetings that I've had in my career that involved mothers screaming and crying hysterically and making wild accusations. These did not happen in Los Angeles or in San Diego in California. They actually happened in Berkeley, the birth of the free speech movement, and in a tiny little city called West Hollywood. Now, if you're not familiar with California, West Hollywood is a little bitty tiny piece of LA County that was carved out into its own city. It is in fact known as the gayest city in California, and certainly one of the most liberal. And so these are the two jurisdictions where I face the stiffest opposition to medical marijuana facilities, despite the fact that they're otherwise regarded as a very liberal, forward-thinking communities. So don't think that just because your neighborhood or your city tends to lean to the left that you've got a free ride on that, because Tip O'Neill said all politics are local, well, all zoning and land use issues are local too. And even though your community may be passionately in support of safe access or very much in support of legalization of cannabis, when it comes to what happens on that block, it's an entirely different story. So be ready for local opposition if you're even if you're dealing with a community that polls show overall supports what you're doing. So in thinking about community relations, let's think to a bit about how you fit into your community, or what I like to think of is how do you look to others? How do you look to others physically? How do you look to others when it comes to your behavior? And then how do you look to others legally? And so let's talk a bit about that. Physically is something that I'm surprised our industry often overlooks. given what we have to deal with as far as baggage goes. How we look physically is very, very important. And the primary rule of thumb, whether it's for a medical cannabis business, a cannabis business, or really anything else, is that you should fit into your neighborhood. It's very important to look at your neighborhood, determine what the businesses in that neighborhood look like, and look like that, or better. You never want to be the worst looking place on your block. I can tell you in West Hollywood, California, I opened what is now the longest continuously operating medical cannabis facility in Los Angeles County back in 2004. And when we first opened, we came with a mindset of being discreet. Discretion was our overall preoccupation. And so we had those big long blinds in the front window, and we dutifully closed those every morning and left them closed. And that way nobody could see in, and we thought nobody would be offended when they couldn't see in and see the medical marijuana business inside. And then when walking to my facility one day from the front, I looked up and saw, and by way of context, by the way, this facility was located between a tattoo parlor on one side and a leather shop on the other. So we were actually one of the least controversial things on the block, I think. But as I was walking up, I saw regular business, office building, tattoo parlor, closed blinds, leather shop, restaurant. It's like, what in the world is going on in that business? That's so shady. But the blinds are closed every day. And I realized at that point we weren't fitting in at all. And so we pulled back the blinds and we put in some houseplants and some bookcases and some nice furniture in the front. And voila, all of a sudden we fit in on that trendy little block of Santa Monica Boulevard. We looked like everybody around us. And it made a world of difference in how often people stopped and stared. They stopped looking at the building. And in fact, we achieved our goal of discretion by simply opening up the blinds and being more open, by fitting in. So I would encourage you to look around and see what your physical differences and similarities are in that community. I also mentioned at the start that it's okay to be the same or better, and it's always a good idea to spruce things up. In Berkeley, where I established the second medical marijuana facility rather in that city, way back in 2000, and when we moved in, it was in South Berkeley in what used to be a pancake house. It was a real dumpy, rundown building. So we put up butcher paper in the windows, and we went into business. And things were going pretty well, but we didn't look very good. And that wound up, there was an expose in the newspaper, did you know they're selling marijuana on San Pablo Avenue? And they actually made reference to our butcher paper, and we were so embarrassed. And so we cleaned up our act, and we put up curtains, and we had the building painted. We also went outside and dug up the scraggly old bushes in front of our building and planted flowers. Of all the things that we did for government and community relations in the city of Berkeley in that first, say, 18 months, planting flowers was probably the single most successful public relations campaign that we embarked on. Our neighbors loved it. Not only did the building look so much better with those flowers out there, but all of a sudden people started stopping by and talking to us. Our neighbors started talking to us and saying, oh, thanks for the flowers, that looks really nice. Or, oh, what is that flower? I want to plant that flower. And all those barriers about the shady building with barbed wire and butcher paper started to vanish in favor of the questions about the lovely flowers out front. And so we made a huge impact, I think, in our neighborhood just by putting those flowers out there. We also cleaned up the parking lot. We had it repaved and repainted. We hired some security guards to be outside of the facility and be visible. Not, by the way, in stormtrooper apparel and not with guns. Just regular security guard clothes, so that they were clearly security and clearly visible, but not intimidating. And what we saw over a period of 6 weeks or so since we implemented those changes was that there was a complete turnaround in the block around us. The businesses on either side started to do better. They started to sell more things at the convenience store and the restaurant, which was amazing because the restaurant was terrible. But they started doing better. They started doing way better because all of a sudden that block became comfortable. There was a lot of street activity, a lot of homelessness, and a lot of sex work that was happening in the neighborhood. All of that moved a few blocks out because now there was foot traffic and the neighborhood looked a little bit better. And believe it or not, that has a psychological impact both on the people providing illegal services and on the people who want to buy them. They tend to move away from that into the areas that are a little less attractive. And so we helped clean up our neighborhood and actually make that block something much, much better. And I can tell you 10 years later, when the federal government finally managed to force that facility out of that location, that block went back to being just as seedy and undesirable as it was before.
That's Don Duncan from Americans for Safe Access pointing out the need for community relations if you're going to be involved in the cannabis business. But the entire presentation, well, you'll have to get those at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. The next one should be coming up soon. The international conference is happening in September. We'll be there presenting and bringing you more highlights. For now, we got to take a break. When we come back, Radical Rant time, the top five signs you're smoking too much pot.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you. 420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Look, man, best dope you can buy. Try it.
I don't know. Hey, here comes Jessica and the Ghostbusters.
Hey, you guys want to try some dope?
No.
No.
No way.
Thanks, Trace. When it comes to the question of drugs, friends or not, the only right answer is no.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Well, I've got an article up on HighTimes.com, the five signs that you're smoking too much pot. And before I get into them, I want to tell you what inspired me for this article. While I was in Atlanta, I had the opportunity to do this show called The Arena, the little talk show that they had on cable access. And the host was asking about marijuana addiction. And his point that he was making is he had friends who were, you know, weed heads, as he would call them, that smoked a lot of pot. And then they get busted, and then they'd have to go on probation. And while they're on probation, they would fail a pee test for smoking pot. And his point was that they know how long pot stays in your system, so the fact that they were on probation and couldn't stop smoking pot long enough to, you know, beat their probation, why, that must mean they're addicted to pot. And so that got me to thinking. And you know, when I thought of that particular scenario, aside from, you know, the possibility that that person might have a medical need. But aside from that, I mean, that's kind of a compelling argument, you know, avoiding, using marijuana for a certain amount of time when there are certain consequences to be had. I mean, that could be a sign that there's a problem. And so that kind of inspired me to write this little list article, or listicle, they call them, of the five signs that you're smoking too much pot. And really, it's the first one that's probably the most important one. And I would say that blowing off your responsibilities is probably the biggest sign, you know, because being a responsible cannabis consumer means that your personal use of marijuana doesn't negatively affect fulfilling your responsibilities. You know, whether that's at work or at school, or, you know, as a parent, as a roommate, as a spouse, whatever, you know, you still have to be, you know, a person of your word, a person of integrity. And blowing that off to just get high, you know, repeatedly calling in sick or skipping school, or, you know, disappointing someone who is counting on you just because you'd rather get high. I mean, you're not just sandbagging your own life. You're contributing to negative stereotypes about pot smokers. And that impacts all of us. It impacts everybody's ability to fight for legalization. And again, when we do the stupid prohibition stories, we always point out that, you know, smoking marijuana doesn't make you stupid, but some stupid people smoke marijuana. I'm not trying to say that the smoking marijuana causes you to, you know, blow off your responsibilities. You may just be an irresponsible person. Who knows? But take a look at it. Stop for a while. See if that makes any difference. I mean, if you've got a situation where you are consuming cannabis on a consistent basis and it's causing problems in your life, and again, not just the typical problem of the fact it's illegal and you can get busted for it, you know, that aside, if you're not fulfilling responsibilities, you know, if things are starting to slip at work or at school in your relationships, that can be a sign, man. And, you know, sometimes people will use cannabis to mask other things that are going on, you know, things they don't want to face in their life. And the only way you can really tell that is to give it a break for a little while and see, you know, if that problem rears its ugly head and you have some way of dealing with it. So, you know, I'm all for cannabis use, and I love using it as a supplement, as a medicine, as a recreation. But even I have times when I like to go without for a while just to clear my head, and for other good reasons that we'll get to here in just a second. Another sign that you might be smoking too much is you can't shake a wheezing cough, right? You know, marijuana smoking is not the deadly, dangerous gateway to heroin, you know, that the drug warriors say it is or anything, but you are inhaling smoke. You know, it's burning vegetable matter. Doesn't matter if it's campfire, what, smoke in your lungs is an irritant. And you're not likely to risk lung cancer and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease like a cigarette smoker or anything. But, you know, frequent heavy marijuana use through smoking can lead to an irritated throat and lungs. And, you know, I've found this in my own life where it's not so much day to day that it's a problem. But if there's something else on top of it, like if I got a cold, or there's the season change, and you know, you people have been listening to me a long time, you can hear some of those days when my voice isn't really where it should be. And that's, you know, can be, you know, exacerbated through using too much marijuana. And maybe not always just the marijuana, but the heat of the smoke that's coming in, right? If you're smoking like short pipes or joints, Dr. Mitch and I have talked about how the heat from that can be a problem for your throat and lungs as well. So if you're sick, if you got a flu, if you got a cough and you just can't shake it, you know, maybe switch to edibles for a while, maybe switch to a vaporizer for a while, but don't, you know, make things even harder for your lungs to recuperate. A number three sign that you might be smoking too much weed, I take a lot of heat for this one, is you're scraping resin from your bowl to smoke. Look, I've been there. I'm from Idaho. There's two strains there, got some and don't. And more often than not, it was don't. And I know what it's like to be out of weed and there's none to be found. So, you know, you take a pocket knife and you get your pipes and you scrape some resin up, and then you try to smoke it. But unfortunately, what remains in resin after a bud has been smoked is mostly all the bad stuff, like the tars, and almost none of the good stuff, like the THC. I mean, you might feel like you're getting high, but you're really just asphyxiating yourself on noxious smoke. And in the comments section at the High Times article, I actually had a guy from Portland State, of all places, call me out on that. He pointed up this study that he pulled up about that had to do with tars, and it actually found that the tars in cannabis were five times as strong as the cigarettes that were used to produce them. Unfortunately for him, the study was using machines that smoked marijuana through a filter, and it was the tars that accumulated on the filter. Well, that's a whole different scenario than what's accumulating on the sides of your bowl. Right. When you're applying flame to a marijuana bud, you're immediately losing about 70% of the usable cannabinoids just from the combustion, just from the fire. And then that 30% that remains, you're getting most of that as you inhale the smoke as it comes through. I mean, if you weren't, you wouldn't get high. So what's left on the edge of a bowl, you know, that black, gooey, scrapey stuff, really, it's not doing you any favors to smoke that stuff. And if you get to the point where you're that desperate where you, oh my God, I just have to smoke. Again, maybe there's too much dependence on marijuana at that point. Maybe it's time to cut back. Maybe it's time to try some other solutions. Or maybe it's time to just legalize so you can go to the store and buy some more. That could be the other option. Another sign number four, that you might be smoking too much pot is you're not getting high anymore. Now, I'm seeing this. Now, I'm really, you know, actually concerned about the younger generation that's, you know, starting on dabs and then just accelerating from there. And, you know, your endocannabinoid system is a self-regulating system. So as you introduce more cannabinoids into your system, your endocannabinoid production is downregulated, right? You produce less of your own anandamide. And that can make it so that when you're not getting all the cannabis that you want, that you were expecting, and all those downregulated cannabinoid receptors, you get, that's where the withdrawal comes from. And again, it's not withdrawal like heroin. It's not withdrawal like alcohol. It's not even withdrawal like sugar for that respect. But it is a withdrawal, and it does make one want to go back and get that dab to relieve the nausea or the ache or whatever it is that you're feeling. So beware of that, the fact that you can build a tolerance to this effect, right? Marijuana is like most drugs. The continuing increase in it can lead to a tolerance. I mean, you used to get looped from a puff, then a few puffs, then a joint, and now it's dabs and so forth. And that's fine if you want to spend money like a sailor on shore leave. But if you want to save some cash, ease up a bit. Even taking just a day or a week break from cannabis can reset your internal cannabinoid receptors to better appreciate smaller amounts. You might save some money that way. And we've talked to Dr. Mitch about this before too, where you take this break from cannabis and it's kind of a cannabis vacation. And when you get back smoking that one joint, you recall those early, remember those first few feelings you had the first times you got high, where you were giggly and giddy, and some of those feelings that you might not get if you're smoking day after day after day. Again, nothing wrong with it if you want to smoke day after day. These are just tips that if you're considering it, these might be reasons to slow down a bit. And the number five reason, boy, this one's happened at Rolla J Studios. You're forgetting to smoke pot. Have you ever been so high you were sitting there with a bong in one hand and weed on the table and you've completely forgotten that you were about to get high? Now maybe it's time for a break, dude. I mean, but you know, I'm throwing stones from a glass house here. I have been that guy sitting there waiting to load the bowl. But it's just kind of a lighthearted look at five reasons that you might be overtoking. And just to remind ourselves that there's nothing wrong with taking a break. There's nothing wrong with taking it easy. Just because we love marijuana doesn't mean we have to overdo it. And it'll be better for us all in the long run. We can save a little bit of money, and we can keep perpetuating images of marijuana users as, you know, just like anybody else. I mean, if you knew a guy who drank a 12-pack every night, he might be functional. He might be doing just fine, but you might also have second thoughts about how long he's going to be able to continue doing that. Now, again, alcohol is far more toxic, or is toxic and addictive, unlike marijuana, but still, moderation in all things. No need to overdo it. It's causing problems in your life, causing problems in your health. Consider taking a break. All right, we're going to take a break because it's the end of hour one, and when we come back, hour two, Toker Talk Radio, phone lines will be open at 971-533-7111, and we've got all sorts of interesting stories to go over on Toker Talk Radio, including that Rand Corporation report. We've got double the pot and half the coke. Also, drivers from Colorado claiming they're being profiled when they drive out of state. We'll take a look at that, a report on RT, and more. So for Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, Take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Come on, time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it.